Hi there. Welcome to the New Life Live podcast. Steve here. And since 1988, New Life has been transforming lives one life at a time. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's most hard, difficult places. One way we do this is through the live program that we share with our listeners here on this podcast. Now, you'll get to listen to callers bringing us their challenges, and our panel of counselors and psychologists provide insight, which you will learn from too.
Hello, everyone. It's Becky Brown, and today we have Dr. Sherry Keffer and Dr. Jackie Mack Harris joining us. We're going to take calls for the next 2 hours, so you can call us at 1-800-229-3000. And, you know, one of the things that we have talked about on the program before is this term called love bombing, which seems like a contraindication because love and bombing doesn't really kind of fit together. But, you know, it is a thing that can wreck a lot of people's lives. Sherry, tell us more about this term and how does it impact us?
Yeah, you know what? It's a sneaky, stealthy tactic of having someone try to get you to love them and pick them and feel very special. You know, it's being showered with gifts and having somebody wash your car, think about you, put you on a pedestal, just lavish you. But the lavishing is abundant and very fast. You feel like you are the center of their universe. But there's an underlying problem, is that it's not about love. It's actually about usury. It's about, I want to catch you in my net so that I can have you, own you. But then once you're caught, the gifts, the lavishness ends, unless the relationship goes through a period where they think they're going to lose you. And then they start lavishing you with gifts and all that. But
it can be so confusing, right, Sherry? Because you think, well, of course, love, they would do nice things for us, give us gifts, all that kind of thing. But when it stops, there can be a lot of control that has been going on during the love bombing, right?
But that is the point. I was talking to a love bomber not so very long ago, because I was trying to really unpack what is the motive behind love bombing. And let me tell you this. Now, all of you that are hearing me, I don't want you to go into major empathy for love bombers, because they need to be healed from what's going on. But the tension is this, is they do this because they have incredibly poor self-images. Mm-hmm. So they have tension. The love equals control. Love equals control, and love equals entitlement, and love equals sacrifice. So when you have control, entitlement, and them feeling like they need to sacrifice to get you, instead of just being a human, normal, you know, dealing with their self-image issues, it creates a lot of chaos and hurt. And the point is to keep you focused on them and to keep you, they keep the focus on you so that you don't look at who they are underneath all the gift giving. So if you're with someone who's love bombing you, you're going to get hooked if you don't listen to us here today at New Life. This is what we're trying to do, is help you stay safe.
And because, I think, listen to your instincts.
Yeah,
because I've talked to people who have felt very much like, this feels wrong, right? Like it feels too syrupy sweet. It feels like he must be doing something. All these gifts. I showed up at my job and there were diamonds on my desk and I keep getting roses and all of it feels icky. And that's a sign that something's off, because it should feel like, oh, this was so sweet. Thank you for being so thoughtful. Because it's not something that's just being dumped on you to get your attention, to get your focus, to be able to control you.
Yeah, it is control. There's a verse I love I want to share with you guys. It's Proverbs 29:5, and it says this: a man who only pretends to praise his neighbor or one that he's pursuing is spreading a net to catch them by their feet.
Ooh.
I know.
Wow, that
catch
is
them
powerful.
By their feet. Like,
yeah.
Man.
Like it's a snare. It's a snare.
If this is something in your life, or maybe you got a relationship issue, we're going to be taking your calls for 2 hours. 1-800-229-3000. We don't want you to get bombed. We want you to get help. And, you know, there's all kinds of ways we can help. So give us a call. We'll see you in a minute.
find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. You have some lines open. You can call us 1-800-229-3000. And, you know, we were talking at the break further about this love bombing. Jackie, you had an epiphany or a remembering of something.
I watched it happen.
Yeah, I had this moment where I recognized that I've worked with people. That's one of the missing pieces in the couple's work is there's this attitude of, but I did this for you and I did that for you and I do these things and I take you here and I do that, as though that excuses the bad behavior, right? So they are unfaithful or they are aggressive, abusive, verbally or physically, but then they want to point out, but that Tiffany box, or we just got back from Paris, as though they are paying them and so they must tolerate the abuse.
That's key too, right?
And you're sucked in. You want to keep having those things.
Yeah, because you think that is love, but it's usury, right?
Well, and Sherry, you were talking about a treatment protocol that you can use when you may be the love bomber. EMDR was eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. How does that help someone who may be a love bomber?
Well, you know, I mean, the love bombers aren't really aware of, I mean, they're not aware in a healing, healthy sort of way. And they need to be confronted about what they're doing. And so those that I've worked with in my office who are doing behaviors like this are frustrated because they can't successfully land a female or a male, right? Because it can go either way. And so when we start unpacking what they're doing and the strategy, that's when I really uncovered the fact that there is a very wounded, poor self-image, a man who almost feels emasculated. You wouldn't know that by talking to them because they carry themselves in a very protective way. But, you know, all behavior's purposeful. And even love bombing has a purpose, even though it's not a good one. It's not a healthy one. It's covering up. But, you know, I think about back to a relationship I was in, you two. This is when I was single, you know, 10 plus years ago when I was doing the dating challenge. And one of the guys that I met lavished me from the beginning. And he looked really great on paper. You know, he was a seminary person and he was studying and the Bible. And I thought, but he took me out to fine dining for a weekend. He took me in a helicopter over the ocean. And went to dinner and then, oh, of course, took me by his house, showed me paintings and his car and, you know, all this stuff. And then he told me, you know, I would really like you to leave your job and just travel with me. Now, if I didn't have my wits about me and I wasn't on the radio with y'all and y'all weren't holding me accountable and I didn't have a friend to hold me accountable, I might have just been swept away. But at the end of that weekend, he probably spent $1,500 on me, which is a lot. But then you know what he wanted? We got to my front door and he's like, well, hey, like, show me what you got. Like, he was expecting me to, like, make out with him on demand. Well, you guys knew I was doing that dating thing, and I told him, I said, you know, I don't make out on demand. And right now, I'm keeping my wits about me, and I'm not making out with anybody because I'm just trying to get to know different gentlemen. He was so mad. And he just said, well, I can't believe that. And he left that night, and I let him leave. Anyway, all that to say, that was very telling because I didn't want to lose my life to somebody who was just looking to use me. I wanted to be in a relationship.
Yeah, and whether they know it or not, it's still detrimental to the psyche of the person that it's happening to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've worked with people who that is the struggle. They've been brought in with this idea that there's here you are, you deserve the world, I'm the person that can give it to you. But then there's this attitude of, tell them what I did for you. Tell them what I got you. Tell them what I bought you. Because that's how they feel good. That's how they feel connected. Rather than being in relationship with the person being enough.
Yeah,
it's not an authentic relationship. Yeah. Well, let's go to the calls. We're going to continue taking calls at 1-800-229-3000. Right now we're going to talk with Peaches, who's calling us from San Francisco and listens on the internet. Hi, Peaches. Thanks for calling. How can we help you today?
Yes, I was accused of love bombing, and it ended my relationship with my family.
Uh-oh.
And I walked away from them. The question is that I did help my family and give things to my son to help him because I loved him, not for any other reason. But when I told him things like, maybe you don't want to be careful about road rage because I can get me and you hurt when I'm in a car, he saw that as me trying to control him. Or if I said something like, well, maybe you should, be a little bit respectful and don't yell at anybody or raise your voice because that can escalate to more anger or stuff like that. I was accused of being controlling, or don't park your car over here because you're not allowed to unless you pay for parking. They could tow your car. Or I could get in trouble where I live because stuff like that. So
right.
I was told I was being controlled.
Well, Peaches, let's explore that. Jackie, you want to start? Mm-hmm. And we'll just see what we can do to help Peaches.
Well, Peaches, it sounds like you set a boundary, but also you took a look at what was happening. So you love to give gifts and to help people out financially, but you're saying it's not because you're wanting something from them. That's not about you trying to solidify your relationship with them, but that's how it was perceived.
Well, that's what he said, yes, but I was getting after him and telling him things. What mother, if they see something harmful for their son or their child, their older adult, they're not going to say, hey, you know, I don't think you can, you know, you should do that. If you have road rage, I mean, if you're really angry, if you get angry, it can get out of control, or maybe don't blow the horn, you know, if someone upsets you or excessively or yell or say, get out of my way and yell and stuff, because, you know, I don't want it to escalate.
Were there any
things on the road?
Peaches, were there any ultimatums? Did you ever say, well, if you don't do that, I won't do this?
Never. He just know what happened was that I told him that I was going to be moving and that I wasn't going to give him the address because I wanted to feel safe, because there were things going on in the community that made me feel unsafe. I only see him a couple of times a year. I said, we can go to a hotel and meet, or we can do Zoom, because I don't see him that much anyway. Very
well,
I hadn't seen him in a year. So he got upset and said I was love bombing because I would not give him, I wasn't going to give him my address to let him know where I was going.
Okay, so Peaches, I think that there's probably a definition correction we need to do, because I don't hear you as being a love bomber. Now, Sherry or Jackie, what do you think about that?
I think you're trying to protect both yourself and your son. But you know what makes me really curious, Peaches, is I would wish you could be here with Jackie right now. Sitting here, we would share some tea and talk, because I want to know about you. Like, what has happened, sweet one? Like, in your life with the father of your son growing up, it just, I wonder how much chaos, how much fear, how unsafe it has been for you that you're trying to protect yourself and those you've loved. Can you give us a little peek into what's happened to you?
Well, the community, you know, it just hasn't been, people have been like kind of making me feel uncomfortable in the community. I want to be safe.
Yeah.
And so it's a safety matter. It wasn't, he took it that because I wouldn't give him the address that I was like, because I had left the family before because of abuse.
Okay, so tell us about that.
Yeah,
tell us about that. Like, what happened growing up?
Growing up, you
in your family, growing up, did you grow up in a single family home? Was there abuse? Did you watch stuff happen that would make your toes curl? What happened?
Well, I can just sum it up in a nutshell. I grew up with an alcoholic father, a mentally ill, abusive, mentally ill mother that never protected me, that never did, wasn't there for me, that was very balanced. It was balanced in the home. It was no care. It was no, the basic needs wasn't met. There was there was nothing. You know, no food, no clothes, no nothing.
Do you know what happened? Everybody who's listening to you right now, their hearts softened. They just got really soft because everybody's listening to what it was like to grow up with an abusive, mentally ill mom and an alcoholic dad. You had no safe place. So it's no wonder that you don't feel safe. You didn't feel safe growing up. You don't feel safe in your community. And you worry about your boy. It's not love bombing. I would say it's trauma-induced fear. Mm-hmm. It's trauma-induced fear, my dear. And so when we're doing those behaviors, trying to control somebody, trying to protect, and they don't understand why we're doing what we're doing, all kinds of labels get snapped on us, mm-hmm. right? Love bombing, narcissist, crazy person, right? But the fact is you're still...
And he said all of those, too.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to give him... I just wanted to feel safe.
I know.
I didn't know who was doing the harassing, who was behind it. And I wanted to still have a relationship with him. He just couldn't get beyond that I wouldn't give him the address. I just wanted to be safe. That's all.
But you know what, sweetheart? You have wanted to be safe since you were itty-bitty, since you were 3, 4, 5 years old. And that's where new life comes in. That's where we want to help you heal so that the safety can come from inside, right? Because there's a little girl in there that is terrified, understandably, based on what's happened to you.
Yeah, definitely. It makes sense that you want to protect yourself. And you're setting a boundary for what you need for you, which can be really hard for other people. He doesn't understand why you're doing what you're doing, and it sounds like it maybe feels like punishment to him, and like you're trying to force him to behave in a certain way in order for him to have that information from you. You know what's happening inside of you. Say that again.
He's controlling. He wants to have his way because I spoiled him. I created a monster. I spoiled him.
You wanted to make sure that he had all that you did not have.
Right.
He had a very present mother.
I gave him all that I did not have. What kid has a rabbit sweater at 6 months years old? Rabbit sweater. It was ridiculous. But I wanted him to have everything that I didn't have, and I gave him everything.
That may be, Peaches, why the love bombing, because he may be looking at it like you tried to buy my love all these years. He doesn't know your story. We often hide what's happened to us, not just from ourselves, but from our children. And what ends up happening is we learn life lessons from the world, from Disney, from Netflix, from, you know, Mother Knows Best or whatever it is you're watching, rather than from the stories of our own family history. And so if you've tried to protect him from the painful childhood that you had, and maybe even protect his relationship with your parents or his image of them, he may not know why you do what you do.
Well, we're so glad that you called today, Peaches, because you are doing the right thing. You need to do what you need to do to feel safe. I think we're going to send you a copy of Emotional Freedom Workbook. I think if you're not already working with a therapist, we want to connect you with somebody who has trauma-informed treatment protocols, because it can make such a difference and in the future of your relationship with your son. It is so difficult to discern. And I think, Jackie, you said that in the opening, that, you know, our gut tells us that something doesn't feel right, but we can't make sense out of it. And just as Sherry uncovered your backstory, it makes sense that you want to feel safe, and it's important. We'll be right back after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. If your past traumas are causing you present troubles, like what we just talked about, you can call us 1-800-229-3000. We're taking calls for the next 2 hours. We also have counselors and coaches available across the country. We want to help you in the long-term process. Right now, we're going to go and talk with Sophie, who's calling us from Toronto, Canada, listens on the internet. You can, too, at newlife.com. We are so glad you called, Sophie. How are you, and how can we help you today?
I'm fine, thank you, and thank you for taking my call.
Yes, go ahead.
I have a question with regards to my neighbor, who seems to be a love bomber and a narcissist. And I'm so thankful that this was the subject of your show today. My query is how I can deal with my neighbor, what to do. He's been married for like 40 years, and I came into this community really vulnerable. I'm a widow. I'm a disabled vet. On top of that, I had a car accident that ruined my car, so I was carless, and I had a head injury. Therefore, my neighbor saw these vulnerabilities and decided, as a narcissist, well, he was going to shower me with visits. He invited me over to have tea and coffee with him and his wife. He started giving me gifts. He started driving me. As I said, I had a car crash. My car was totaled. All of these things made me think he was a magnificent person, but my heart of hearts was telling me something was wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm a Christian, and I read the Bible, and he thought that that was not a good thing. He had this book. I am not sure what it was called. It had some type of new age type of feeling to it. And he kept referring to this book. And because he thought he had me hooked, he wanted constantly to help me, make me read it and make me forget about the Bible. And because now he was a friend, not just a neighbor, I was trying to be polite and say, well, no, I want the Bible. I don't need this. And he kept shoving it in my face. No, go home, read it. And so I'm half Native, so I finally had to say, no, my tribe really doesn't want me to read things like that. It's negative. Right on the cover, it had some satanic symbols, you know, those new age symbols that keep popping. Right, so I knew right away this was not a good thing for me to have. Then he started to say, I want to talk to your tribe. I want to call them. How do I reach them? He had a few narcissistic outbursts, yelling, screaming.
It sounds really tough, Sophie.
It was difficult. I had a dog at the time, and he'd want my dog to come over, and I'd walk his dog. And it's just, we were really, really friendly neighbors. But my heart of heart, and when I would pray to God, something was wrong. Because the love bombing, it was too bloody nice. It's like, this is insane. Mm. And then one day he started to talk about his wife and his sexual relations with his wife. I told him, I don't want to listen to that. I even brought the wife into the conversation when I was in his house. She said, oh, he feels so comfortable with you. He doesn't mind talking about this, but I did.
It's kind of crazy making, Sophie. So how can we help you today?
Yes. Well, my query is, how can I handle this neighbor? Because I have cut away ties because of his narcissistic, aggressive outburst. I just couldn't deal with it anymore. I have thrown away all of the gifts that he and his wife have given me because they were not given with good intentions and they had their energy. But I still run into him because he is my neighbor. I'm a Christian, and because we need to forgive, because I'm not a love bomber, I'm not a narcissist, but I have weaknesses, faults, and I must forgive.
Well, let's hear what Sherry. Let's hear what Sherry and Jackie have to say about this. Sherry, you want to start?
I do. Well, one, I am proud of you that you trusted your gut. I'm proud of you that you integrated your gut into your wisdom to know that it was weird, too good to be true. Sometimes what happens with us is we feel guilty for having gone as far as we did with mm-hmm. a love bomber because, you know, we feel duped. We feel taken because everything seemed so good. Did he ask you to have sex? Was he alluding that he wanted to be sexual with you?
It was very obvious. He kept showing me his underwear. Oh, this is the underwear I wear. And he told me that his wife, she always wanted so much sex for him and from him, and he was tired. I finally had to say, and this was a lie, oh, since my husband died, I'm really not interested in sex. If I never have sex again, verbatim is what I told him.
Right.
If I never have sex again, it'll be too soon. He crashed in his sofa.
Yeah. So,
and he was crushed for 4 days.
Of course. Of course. You know why? Because let me layer one more thing in that hasn't been said. Okay. I think he's a sex addict.
He was trying to groom her.
He's a sex addict. And I don't say that. I know it's probably shocking, scaring, like, what do? I'm living next to somebody. But this is the deal. He was grooming you. He was trying to get you. They distract with gifts. They manipulate to get the sex. They cover up the sexual acting out that they're doing. He's looking at porn, I'm sure. And they flatter you. But you know what? You didn't follow through. You stayed strong. And we'll chat with you and give you a few more tips when we come back.
Yes, we are going to keep going.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Club New Life supporters who give a monthly donation because they want to continue to offer help and hope in these very, very difficult places. To find out more about Club New Life, you can go to our website, newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, if you're new to us, we drop an episode every weekday. We would love it if you would rate or write a review, which helps more people discover help and hope and helps us share wisdom with as many people as possible. Now, let's listen to our counselors as they help people walk through life's hardest places.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are talking with Sophie, who has a neighbor who has not only been love bombing her, but Sherry probably just nailed it with, you know, he's probably got a sex addiction that he is trying to groom you for trouble. But
that his wife is in denial over, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
His wife is like, oh, no, he's just so comfortable with you.
But let me share. Let me take us back for a second. Sophie, remember when I started the show, we started the show today, Proverbs 29:5 is written for you. A man who only pretends to praise his neighbor, you, Sophie, is spreading a net to catch them by the feet. So he didn't catch you. But let me tell you this. Sometimes we think we have to forgive somebody who is abusive or unsafe. And so what we do is make ourselves vulnerable to them again and again. You can forgive him, but you do not need to have a relationship with him.
Forgiveness does not mean that. It doesn't mean re-engaging. Forgiveness means you're making a decision in your heart to not hold animosity towards him, and that's freedom for you. That's more about you than him. And you've already done the thing. You said, what do? You cut it off. You cut it off, you get rid of the stuff, you give it back, and you no longer engage in conversation with them. And being a Christian does not require you to be in the presence of someone who is unsafe for you ever at all, period. And anyone who tries to make you feel bad because you're not, they're putting you in danger. So we're not going to listen to them. You're doing the right thing for you by setting these boundaries. I would say the next thing to answer your query, trust it. Trust your gut, trust your instinct, and trust that the Holy Spirit has given you wisdom and discernment and will continue to do so.
And feel no guilt.
No guilt.
No guilt because you don't say
hi.
He
walks by.
Yeah.
You
don't engage him.
You don't engage him.
Yeah.
And we will send you a copy of Boundaries. It's not Boundaries with Neighbors, but I think it'll work just the same way. We're glad you called. We are going to go to Amanda, who's calling us from Ruston, Virginia, listens on WAVA, and we're glad you called. How can we help you, Amanda?
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm in a marriage for the past 2 decades, and my question is about my husband, who has just given different kinds of promises, but he has not followed through. And so I find myself repeating myself and requesting a whole lot over and over the same thing, and it's just creating friction and conflict. And at this point, I'm just kind of thinking, well, I'm about done. I'm no longer interested. He's very passive. So I don't know what to do. He's in a change of season too, and over this time we've been together, he has not prepared financially for that season. So,
okay, I think we can help you, Amanda. That's tough after 20 years of marriage to come to just a place where you're just not sure what to do. Sherry, let's start with you.
I just want to know, what are you begging for?
Yeah, so one big thing is the house. When we got together, there was an addition in the house that's been unfinished. And the story is the same thing all the time. I'm going to get it done. But it looks like a shed.
Okay, so let's just take the house. When your husband isn't finishing the addition, and it looks like a shed, and it bothers you, 100% of us would feel in a position of, I'm stuck. I'm throwing my hands up in the air. I don't know what to do. But what you do is you let go of your choices, your decision-making, your power. You let that go, and you go to him, and you put all your eggs in his basket. I want you to take care of these eggs. I want you to cook them, clean them. And you know what happens? That creates crazy making. So my question to you, because I get it. He's not collaborating. He's not working with you. He's not partnering well on this addition. But my question to you is, what is it about you that hasn't taken steps to get that addition finished? Now, I know you're going to say money first. But let's think.
No,
I want to go.
Not.
Okay, good. So what is it about you that hasn't taken steps and owned that egg, the basket of eggs, to go get what you need to finish that addition?
So it's a custom home. He built it from the ground up, and he's a contractor, and he takes pride in that. And he crafted or developed the plans for the house. And he built it from, as I said, from the ground up.
So he's very vested. But this is the thing, is you could go to him and say, you know, honey, I've been waiting for this addition. And I know I keep asking you, and I don't want to nag. Mm-hmm. I don't want to nag. I don't want to beg. So this is the thing, is in 30 days, if there isn't a plan, a workable plan where there's some changes starting to happen in the addition, I'm actually going to reach out to another contractor to have them finish the job. You laughed. What happened?
I did, because we have several children. One child graduated, moved out. The other child took over the room. And we were just in the process of personalizing the room for that child and making it his kingdom. And in the process of just moving that furniture that is existing in there, he came and asked and interfered, and he got extremely upset and said, this is my house, this is my furniture, why are you touching, why are you moving, why are you doing...
So what is that? That's control. But he control, right? So he had this big upset hissy fit, right? But the bottom line is, everybody backed up at that point. Instead of, I can see you're upset. People are moving things. But the reason people are moving things is because I invited you to do it. And you just, it's not something you're really invested in. So I'm going to go ahead, and in the next 30 days, I'm going to hire somebody to come in. And I know that might not go well with you because you have a lot of pride in our home. You care about it. This is what you do. I just am not okay with waiting anymore. And so I'm going to be committed to finishing the project, however that can be done.
Or whatever the thing is, planning for our financial future. We do sometimes give our power over to the headship because we have this idea that the husband is the head. He may have that idea as well. And by idea, I mean what that means, total control. It's my house. Nothing happens in this house unless I agree with it. Well, if that's the way things have gone, it's a part of why you are so frustrated, because not only are you in a situation where things aren't happening that you're asking for, but it's almost as though he's defying you on purpose, because that's a form of control for him. You can't get what you want because I control whether or not you're happy. I control whether or not you're satisfied. And somebody, you, has to take back your power. You have to be the one, because that's the only thing you have control over. You can't control whether or not he finishes that shed. Yes, he told you he would do it. But when someone tells you they'll do something and they don't, over and over and over again, that what they're telling you is they're not doing that thing. Like, the evidence is that they're not doing it. Whether they could maybe do it down the road somewhere or not, they haven't done what they said they would do. And a lot of times it's because they don't want to, they don't care to, they don't know how to, they don't have energy. It's not something they are finding meaningful. And so it matters to you, so you take care of it. Having a certain financial amount of money set aside financially for retirement, or having a certain financial plan matters to you, then you create it. Don't wait on someone else to take care of what is yours to take care of.
There you go. We'll send you a copy of Take Your Life Back, Amanda. But also, I would invite you and your husband to join us at the Intimacy and Marriage Workshop in July there in the DC area. It could make a difference, because it's never just what you guys are talking about. There's something else below the thing that you're talking about. And especially after 20 years of marriage, you can get into routines that this is just how we do things, but we want you to do better. You know, one of the things that we're doing right now is we have a matching gift campaign going on. That means that every dollar that you give will be doubled. We have a seed of $325,000 that was created by a group of great donors. And, you know, we just appreciate the opportunity to continue to do ministry in so many ways. We had a radio listener that said, all of you at New Life have seen me through, instructed me through, coached, encouraged, counseled, led, and loved me through nightmarish experiences I've never dreamt Christians were dealt in their lives. The resources you create and provide have helped me not only save this life, but I can now see the changes rippling out. I live a free woman in love for the first time in my life with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. New Life has been the voice carrying the message I needed to hear. You can be part of that. Give today.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. I just want to let you know, we have an Every Man's Battle online workshop this Saturday. And so if you are struggling with your sexual integrity as a man, this would be the best way to spend your Saturday. It can make all the difference in the world. You can register by going to newlife.com. You can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and we'll get you the information. It is convenient, but powerful all at the same time. So we want to invite you to join us there. I also want you to know we're continuing to take calls for another hour. Hold on if you're on the line, but we have some lines open, 1-800-229-3000. And Sherry and Jackie will share their wisdom. Right now we're going to speak with Paul, who's calling us from the Villages in Florida and watches us on NRB. We appreciate our NRB audience. Hi, Paul. Thanks for calling. How can we help you today?
Well, we're in the last 6 or 8 months, we're in a family quandary. My youngest son, 58, and his wife of 30 years, who is 50, she has filed for divorce.
Mm.
She has already started using her maiden name. I've heard my son many times text her and tell her that he loves her. And if she ever gets herself in a jam, in trouble, text me and I'll come right away to help you. I think he really loves her. But I don't know what to do. We've lost total communication with her. I think she's very narcissistic. I just don't know what to do. My wife and I are already up in the air.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Paul. It is so hard to see that. Have they been married a long time, Paul?
30 years.
30 years, okay. All right. Well, Jackie or Sherry, who wants to start?
Well, Paul, thank you for your care and concern for your son and your daughter-in-law. It sounds like you had a relationship with her that makes this surprising for you and makes it a loss for you. And so the first thing that came up for me is you're dealing with grief, you and your wife. This is a loss. And one of the things people don't recognize when they divorce is it's not just happening to the two people that are divorcing. It's happening to everyone that is in relationship with them. And you don't have any control, and there isn't anything you can do except for grieve this loss and give yourself time to be sad about it. But there's nothing for you to do in terms of repairing your son's marriage.
Mm. Sharon?
Yeah. You know, I always see situations, when I see situations like yours, Paul, I'm sad. And Dr. Jackie's right. We feel so helpless to know what to do. One thing I have learned is it's something. Like, divorces don't happen just because somebody woke up and, you know, had a headache.
Mm-hmm.
There's a story behind what's going on with them. Has anyone and a lot of times kids don't tell their mom and dad. They don't tell their parents, well, this is what happened, or this is what I did, or this is what she did. Because they're trying to protect their reputation. They're trying to protect people's opinions going forward. Do you know any details of what might have happened before?
Yes. You're right. We didn't know about this when it was happening. But she had a prostitution case that lasted a number of years. And when it came to light, he was so devastated that he couldn't work. He would head out to work, and he'd be so hurt that he'd pull up to a parking lot and just sit there and cry.
Oh.
And so they ended up with no money. They had to move out of the house they had. They have six kids.
Oh.
Two of them are married.
Oh, my goodness.
And,
devastating. So
yeah,
something devastating from her past, a prostitution case, which is a big deal. He married her, had six kids, and there was this secret that had never been told. She didn't come to him when they were dating, before they got married, and said, hey, I just want you to know, in my past, I have a really, really bad past. I did some things that I really regret.
Well, this happened in the marriage, not during the
marriage. Oh, she was prostituting herself in the marriage?
Was she prostituting herself, or did she pick up a prostitute?
No, she was prostituting herself. But it was only with one, maybe two men. But when they did go to some counseling, and when the suggestion of prostitution came up, she said, I didn't prostitute myself. The counselor said, yes, you did.
So are we talking infidelity? She had affairs?
Yes.
Okay. So his wife had two affairs during their marriage.
at least one. I don't know about.
Yeah.
There may have. When I learned of this, I figured this had been going on for longer than just this one guy.
Hmm.
And I even suggested to him that, first of all, he asked me, he was going to get a divorce. I said, Matthew, don't get a divorce. Let her divorce you. That's just my belief about divorce.
I get it. And you know what? This breaks my heart, Paul. You know why? Because your son has my story. I was married to somebody who had affairs, who was involved in pornography and who looked at had prostitutes. There's an underlying sexual issue with her that wasn't addressed. And so what happens is the couple heals broken. They don't get the intervention. She didn't get the intervention. He was a betrayed partner, male, devastated. I can see why he didn't work. That's not uncommon.
Sherry, yes. Can we help Paul? Because we only got like a minute or so, and so we want to help him. Can you suggest something for him and his wife?
I would love to send you a copy of my book, Intimate Deception, Healing the Wounds of Sexual Betrayal.
We'll do
and it. I want you to feel like you can read it, thumb through it, see what helps you with your son, understanding his heart, and then I want you to give it to him. Because I think for him to heal, get his wits about him, get some support, make sense of this, is going to help him going forward.
Yeah, I was thinking the exact same thing. I just think that is, the grief part is also so important because this has been part of your family story for so many years.
Yeah. It's such a huge loss. You've lost a daughter and your grandchildren, their mom's not connected with their dad and your son is devastated. And then there's all of the damage that the affairs did and the legal issues did to the family. There's a lot to grieve and move through. And I agree, Dr. Sherry's book, I think, would be helpful for both of you.
And I think the last thing I want to just say is I think language is important for your grandkids. There's a difference between somebody being a prostitute and somebody entering into affairs and infidelity. So that's an important thing for those kids to know the difference between my mom was unfaithful and my mom was a prostitute. On what some therapist said. So,
Right. I appreciate that. And Paul, if you guys need a therapist, we can get you connected with somebody because I think that could be a helpful part of your own healing. We're so grateful for all of you calling today. We got some calls lined up, but if you need help, call us 1-800-229-3000. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Jackie. And we'll be back after this break.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope something you heard will help you live in freedom today. If this content was helpful for you, we would love it if you'd take a minute, leave us a review, post about it, and rate it. Remember, we have resources and workshops online for you as you continue your journey. Go to newlife.com and find out more information. And thank you for being part of the New Life community. We know that God desires all of us to live a life of wholeness and healing. And we're so glad that you're here.